the Austrian starting 11. We'll bring that to you as soon as we have it. Nathan there with the team news. Lots more to come after this. Keep it here.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. With Air Sport and all the BT Sport channels now free with your Air broadband bundle. Join the conversation. Text us on 53106.
Text costs 30 cents.
We all want to build a better health service. And to do that, we need to hear from people using our services day to day. All adults who finished a stay in a general hospital during May 2017 are being invited to share their experience by taking part in the National Patient Experience Survey. Patients will be contacted after they leave hospital and invited to take part. For more information, visit patientexperience.ie. From the HSE, the Health Information and Quality Authority and the Department of Health.
Employers look favourably on the fact that I'm studying and working at the same time, so it means that I have that drive and ambition.
Realise your potential with National College of Ireland's wide range of full and part-time courses. Come to our open evening on Thursday, June 15th from 5 to 7pm in the IFSC. Call 1850-221-721 or visit ncirl.ie.
News Talk's Off the Ball is bringing you a night of Lions legends on Thursday, June 29th at the RDS. Be there for a legendary live show of Lions laughs, memories and chat with rugby greats Willie John McBride, Keith Wood, Luke Fitzgerald, Malcolm O'Kelly, Fergus Slattery and Dennis Hickey. Plus some amazing prizes to be won on the night. Off the Ball, Lions legends. RDS Concert Hall, Thursday, June 29th. Tickets €20 at newstalk.com/Lions Legends. Book before Monday, June 12th for a 20% discount.
In the event of a medical emergency, it's nice to know that the BlackRock Clinic Emergency Department is there for you. 8am to 6pm Monday to Friday and 10 until 5 Saturdays, Sundays and bank holidays. What you may not know is that many private healthcare policies cover admission to BlackRock Clinic, should it be necessary. To find out if you're covered, free phone 1800 60 10 60. BlackRock Clinic. When your experience needs ours.
You've probably heard about scrappage deals of 3 or maybe 4,000 euro. But your car could be worth more than you think. At Toyota, you could be hearing trade-in values of 5, 10, 15,000 euro or more. That's just one of the reasons why Toyota is Ireland's number one car brand. With 3 years free servicing across our range, including the new Yaris and Toyota CHR. For 172, it has to be Toyota. Built for a better world. Terms and conditions apply. Offer ends June 30th.
Good afternoon, I'm Aisling Roach. A man has been arrested in the UK in connection with the murder of Gareth Hutch in Dublin. The 35-year-old, who was a nephew of Jerry the Monk Hutch, died after he was shot outside his home in North Cumberland Street on the 24th of May last year. The National Crime Agency, in conjunction with An Garda Síochána and the London Metropolitan Police, this morning arrested a 31-year-old man in the Romford area of Essex on foot of a European arrest warrant. Yesterday, a 39-year-old woman was charged with the murder of Gareth Hutch and has been remanded in custody to appear in court again on the 16th of June. Gardaí have sealed off a site in County Wicklow after the discovery of human remains. A forensic examination is due to be carried out at the scene at Military Road in Enniskerry. The remains have yet to be identified and searches in the area are continuing. Reporter with the independent.ie, Carl McMahon, has the latest.
What we know is that their partial remains appear to be part of a torso. The remaining parts of the body have not been discovered. Full forensic examination of the area is going to take place, and Gardaí said that they hope to know more later this afternoon.
Enda Kenny has warned the British Prime Minister that nothing should happen to put the Good Friday Agreement at risk. The outgoing Taoiseach spoke with Theresa May by phone this morning and expressed concern about the deal she proposes to make with the DUP. He's also suggested that she meet with Leo Varadkar as soon as possible to discuss Brexit and the lack of a Northern Executive. There's fear that any agreement between the DUP and Conservatives could undermine Westminster's impartiality in the peace process. Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly says that issue will definitely be in the spotlight over the next few days.
Theresa May actually needs to read it, the Good Friday Agreement and the St Andrews Agreement, and realise what duties she has, despite all the difficulties in Britain, to what is an international agreement.
And Downing Street says there's no changes to plans for Donald Trump's state visit. The UK Guardian's reporting the US president called Theresa May to say he wanted to put the trip on hold until more people supported it. A spokesperson says they won't be commenting on speculation about phone conversations. Don't forget, for the latest news updates, you can go to our website. That's newstalk.com.
Newstalk weather, thanks to kayak.ie. Where can you fly to on your budget? With Kayak's Explore tool, you choose how much you want to spend and when you want to travel, and we'll show you the destinations that match on kayak.ie.
Continuing blustery with further showers and strong gusty winds, lowest temperatures of 10 to 11 degrees. And now you're up to date on News Talk.
News Talk's Off the Ball.
7 days a week.
Thanks to AIR, official sponsor of the GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Welcome back to Sunday afternoon's Off the Ball. 4:05 and plenty on the boil at the moment. Galway have taken the game by the scruff of the neck in the opening 4 minutes at Pearse Stadium. It is Galway 3 points, Mayo no score. The points coming from a booming one from Damien Comer to open the scoring there. Gareth Bradshaw then tacked on a second point for Galway in that one, and now an Armstrong free as well. Sean Armstrong with the free with the third point of the game. So Galway leading Mayo by 3 points to no score. It's Offaly 7, Westmeath 7 in the second half of their Leinster football quarter final. Dublin awaiting the winners of that one. And it's Clare 1-4, Kerry 7 points, the latest score from Cusack Park, where we've had a red card. Dunica Walsh has been sent off for a Kerry in that one. Oisín will bring us up to date at half time as we edge closer to it, mere moments ago until half time. But Dunica Walsh red carded as Mayo get on the score sheet there. And in the French Open final, Rafa Nadal is on the verge of La Decima. He is 3-1 up on Stan Wawrinka in the third set, leading by two sets low. 6-2, 6-3 is how Nadal claimed those first two sets. We saw our first casualty of the afternoon as well at the end, or towards the end of that second set, with Wawrinka in frustration smashing his racket to smithereens. So it looks like, unless he decides to take the long way route, a long way around to that final and that victory, it's going to be Nadal's day at Roland Garros. But we are heading over to the Aviva Stadium for the build-up to the Republic of Ireland versus Austria. Our very own Phil Collins has transferred himself from this studio to the main stand as we see a goal for Mayo. Just 5.5 minutes gone there. The goal for Mayo coming from Kevin McLaughlin. And so Mayo in front, 1-1 to 3 points. Two-thirds of our commentary team over there at the Aviva are going to be very, very happy men. The ball rebounding off the post and down towards O'Connor, who has found the back of the net. So it's Mayo 1-1. Galway 3 points. But Joe Malloy is over at the Aviva Stadium. We had the most pertinent text of the afternoon, and Joe saying from Deck, motorbike, fancy haircut, is Joe having a midlife crisis?
Deck's not the first person to have suggested that to me, Richie. Yeah, you're very welcome to the Aviva Stadium. Have to say, it's looking rather lovely. The rain bucketed down, and I mean bucketed down, about half an hour ago, and suddenly we have relatively clear skies again. Clouds are out. As you can hear, the sound man is blasting our ears off, as is his want.
It started bucketing down just when Nathan tweeted, didn't he? Literally right on cue. 10 minutes later, it starts throwing it down.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
The man is a jinx.
For a couple of hours.
There's a thing in the radio industry known as the Murphy kiss of death. All predictions and forecasts made by Murphy tend to go badly wrong.
Harsh.
It's like joining News Talk. How's that working?
Hey, let's not go there, Joe.
So you're very welcome. You've been here all day. And Kemp Kilbane, it's your first time on the airways this afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Good man.
And we come bearing news of the team. So, Kev, you might do the honours, and you might run us through this 11, and also, because it's never a guarantee, how you think this 11 is going to shape up. It's just been announced.
It looks to me like it'll be a 4-3-3, so Dan Randolph stays in goal. That was the one thing we were maybe talking about. Would it be Wes or would it be Randolph? Dan Randolph starts today. I think it's right that he starts. He's Ireland's number one, and he's, apart from the mistake last week, he's made very little mistakes. The centre-half partnership was the one we were all looking at. Keith Andrews was speaking earlier to us. He thinks that John O'Shea should be starting. I would have thought, yeah, I probably would have sided with him on that. I think with the experience that John O'Shea would bring, no John O'Shea, Kevin Long's in alongside Shane Duffy. That was a surprise to me with Kevin Long in there. Certainly, given the two caps he's just got, only made his debut of the week, so that was a surprising one. Regular fullbacks in place, Cyrus Christie and Stephen Ward alongside them. We'll probably get onto Kevin Long probably a little bit
later.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that.
I would have thought it'd be 4-3-3 system. Sorry, just to go back to your original point, Joe. Glenn Whelan, I think, will sit at the base of a three-man midfield with Jeff Hendrick and Harry Alter alongside him. Robbie Brady, I think we'll probably start on the right as he did last week against Uruguay, and James McClain on the left with John Walters through the middle. So I think it'd be a 4-3-3.
Yeah, Nathan, you have the Austrian team?
Yeah, the main thing of note is with all the players that are missing, there's only four of the side that started in Vienna in the 1-0 defeat to Ireland in November are actually still in the starting team today. They've a goalkeeper who didn't play that night, Heinz Lindner. Their three first choice goalkeepers are unavailable. Rescen Özcan, who played that night, he's retired from international football. There's just a second cap for Stefan Lehner from Red Bull Salzburg. He's probably going to play as a wing back. It looks as though it'll probably be a 3-4-3 formation, or maybe a 3-4-2-1 for Austria, with Sebastian Prodl of Watford, Alex Dragovic and Martin Hinteregger in defence, then Stefan Lehner and Valentino Zaro, two inexperienced players on the wings, and then an experienced centre midfield. It's the same centre midfield that came here back in 2013 in the 2-2 draw. Their captain Julian Baumgartlinger and David Alaba, who's had such an incredible career at still only 24 years of age. Zlatko Junozovic, he'll probably play in there as well, with then Florian Kainz playing just off Guido Bergstaller. He has never scored an international goal, but he's been in sensational form since signing for Schalke just at the start of this year. 9 goals in 18 Bundesliga games.
Yeah.
He got that on the back of scoring 14 in 16 games in the second division for Nuremberg. So this guy, he has talent, he just hasn't shown it yet on the international stage.
What's the Bundes second division?
The Bundesliga 2, sorry.
He's an interesting case, Bergstaller, who's playing up front. He's 28 years old, as Nathan said, 10 caps, has never scored. His career looked to really be in the doldrums. He joined Cardiff City, and then when new owners came in there, they effectively tore up his contract and said, go away. And he reinvented himself in the German second division, got a move to Schalke, and as Nathan says, he's banging in the goals in the Bundesliga. We certainly don't have anyone up front who's banging in the goals in any of Europe's top divisions, so Bergstaller's one to look out for. The man alongside Shane Duffy is going to be tasked with looking out for him is Kevin Long. So it's Long's third cap, it's his first competitive match, and this is a big call because you've got John O'Shea there with all his experience. I'll just play
and Keogh as well.
And Keogh there as well. And Keogh made the point during the week, I'm a big game player, I like playing in the big games, I do well in them, I can be trusted. If you look at the centre half partnership since June 2016, it's really interesting that O'Neill schooled by Clough, and Clough's his main thing in life was the spine of the team and a centre half pairing that were familiar with each other and played a lot with each other. So look, here's where we are in the last year alone. Against Sweden at the Euros, we had O'Shea and Clark. They also played against Belgium. That was a disaster. So O'Shea and Clark out. Keogh and Duffy in for the Italy game. They did well. Keogh and Duffy in for the French game. Didn't go so well. And then this qualification campaign, we've had O'Shea and Keogh together for Serbia. Then against Georgia and Moldova and Austria, we've had Duffy and Clark together. Clark's not available, obviously, today. Against Wales, we had O'Shea and Keogh. And so now we once again have a completely new defensive pairing, Kevin Long and Shane Duffy. This goes against the grain of everything we're told about centre-half pairings. I'm going to get your thoughts on that. But Oisin Langan, just quickly bring us up to date there from Cusack Park. It's gone half-time.
Clare 1-5, Kerry 8 points, and Kerry are down to 14 men. Donico Walsh sent off in the 33rd minute for a second yellow card. His first yellow came after 16 minutes when he needlessly brought down Sexton. He gave away a penalty. Clare went 1-3 to 2 points up after Tubridy put it home. Malone got a point to make it Clare 1-4. Kerry 2 points. After that, Kerry improved. They pressed up. They won frees. They dispossessed Clare high up the park. O'Donoghue and Ganey sharing the free-taking duties. Ganey had scored a point to put them one up deep in injury time at the end of the half. But then Kieran Russell came up from the back and knocked over a score to level it up at the break. Kerry 8 points. Clare 1-5. But Clare will have a breeze and a man advantage in the second half. Joe, back to you.
Yeah, lovely stuff, Oisin. Thanks for that. The latest between Mayo and Galway. Galway have rallied after that Mayo goal. They lead by a single point. It's Mayo 1-1, Galway 5 points. The latest from Pearce Stadium. We'll go over to James Horn very shortly as one of the great Anthems players out here at the Aviva. So I made that point about the defensive pairings. Every single game, effectively, we're playing with a different one, and O'Neill could have put Duffy with O'Shea. What has Kevin Long done that's been so impressive?
I was impressed with him last week. I didn't see much of the Mexico game. It was a difficult one to assess that Mexico game because of the amount of changes, the system that we used. We were overrun in the game. But last week, in particular, the Uruguay game, very impressive. Only just come into the Burnley side, we're forgetting. Has he got half a dozen Premier League appearances?
Three Premier League appearances all season. So we're talking about a player who, since last summer, has played 5 times.
Yeah.
But this, to say it's come out of the blue is putting it mildly.
The only hint we had that this may have happened is that Roy Keane went to watch Burnley and Long played, and he was impressed with him. And he said he was impressed with him, but This is a different ball game. This is one of the most important matches of the Keane O'Neill tenure. You can put Austria to bed here.
And what you made a great point about maybe the knowledge or the managers that they've all worked under, about the spine on the side. Get the spine on the side right, everything else takes care of it. That point is perfectly apt here today, because Shane Duffy's not played a lot of football. We're forgetting this. He's only just come back in playing the two games last week. I thought it was a certain start if he got himself fit, which of course he is now.
Yeah.
But to throw Kevin Long, as you mentioned before, Richard Keogh has mentioned himself this week.
Yeah.
I'm big game player. I've been playing these big games. John O'Shea with all his experience. So he's obviously impressed on the training ground. He's obviously really impressed Martin O'Neill when he's looked back at the game last week against Uruguay, as he did me actually. I thought positionally he was very good. I think he took a good position, heading, did all the basics right, but actually did well. So big call, but these are the ones that managers probably live and die by at times. It's a huge call, I do think. And
it's just there's so much riding on their relationship in those positions. The two centre halves, like using a Duffy. Sorry, think of him against France where he rushed out and gave away the second goal. Think of him away from home. There was against Moldova, was it? Where he rushed.
Moldova, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, you know, Duffy's a player, if you're playing alongside him, you have to kind of know what he's like. You know he's potentially might rush up and you need to drop in behind him. Like, however well they've played in training, this is a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Like, this, if I'm Glenn Whelan, if I'm Christie, if I'm Ward, I'm a bit worried about how well these two are getting
on. You're spot on with ideas. That's the only way you can impress a manager at half time when you come into the squad. Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, they wouldn't have seen a lot of him. Of course, they've not worked with him personally.
They were down before everybody else, though, as part of that group at Foda Island. So they've had an extra week with the management team.
Yeah.
So they must have seen some sort of a spark. Yeah. But even when you look through that defence, like Cyrus Christie's coming in, 10 caps, he's been around the squad for a while. But this is a huge day for him as well. And suddenly he's looking around and he's having to be one of the more senior defenders in that group.
Well, Joel's made the point on Duffy has a tendency to be a little bit rash, jump into challenge.
See the ball and rush up.
Yeah, so it's up for him today to take that responsibility on him. He's certainly the leader of the two centre-halves. I mean, Kevin Long's come in, he's obviously impressed with his voice, how he's maybe organised people around him as well. That's one of the things that Martin O'Neill would always look for in a centre-half. But the onus is on Duffy today, and he's always had the experienced player alongside him. Now he's got to step up. With the lack of games he's played this season, it's a big test for him. So, as you say, I think it's one of the keys we'll be looking at. We'll probably look elsewhere around Houlihan and the Whelan debate and all that, but that's a huge call, because that is, as you said before, right in the middle of your side. They're the two leads, the two organisers of the team. Huge call for Martin O'Neill there. Yeah,
if you're just tuning in, the team again: Randolph, it's Christie at right back, Ward at left back, Kevin Long, as we've said, starts alongside Shane Duffy, and then Kev reckons it's a 4-3-3 of some variation. Glenn Whelan sitting, he's got Jeff Hendrick and Harry Arthur just in front of him, Robbie Brady we think on the right, James McLean on the left, and John Walters is up top. More thoughts on that midfield in a moment. James Horan, the latest from Salt Hill.
Yeah, it's all square here in Salt Hill at the moment. 5 points to Galway, 1-2 to Mayo, and we had a pretty electric start, to be honest. Galway came absolutely firing out of the blocks and got some great scores and went 0-3 up. Damien Comer again, a good score. Garrett Bradshaw again, another good one, followed by Sean Armstrong free, and then Kevin McLaughlin got a good point for Mayo and followed up. Mayo hit the post, fell down to Kevin McLaughlin, he stuck it in the back of net for a very good goal for Mayo. So really exciting start. Then Michael Daly, you know, lined himself up against Patrick Durkin, you know, and lined him up and backed himself and cut inside and kicked over a very, very good score from 40 metres. Then we had the side of Shane Walsh taking on Lee Keegan at full tilt, and I mean two thoroughbreds are as good as you'll see, and Shane showed him a clean pair of heels and kicked over a cracking score. So we're all square here at the moment, but Galway not probably using the wind as much as they should be. They're going short kick outs and only playing one man inside the 45, so not more to come.
Okay, James, thanks very much. So to our left in the sunshine now, we've gone properly from rain bucketing down to clear skies. The Austrians are jumping up and down and waving their hands and limbering up. The Irish are doing the same. Tellingly, Wes Houlihan is in his tracksuit bottoms. Glenn Whelan is not. So that tells you all you need to know.
That makes you sad, Joe. That makes you very sad.
I think it's crazy. Yeah. I really do. Kev, you're going to have to explain this to me, because even taking Vienna, who was one of our best players that night alongside McLean, who set up the McLean goal, how many times does Wes Houlihan have to come on and either create a goal or be the link man, be the only bright spark for us? How many times does he have to do that before he actually gets his place, as a matter of fact?
Well, to explain it, probably what you think you mentioned there, every time he's come on, in Martin O'Neill's mind, he's probably thinking, I can sacrifice Wes Houlihan to bring him on in the second half, but I wouldn't want to be in a position, particularly today, given the state of the group at the moment, going having to try to chase a game. I think you can go and take it to Osher today. I thought he was a certain starter from what Martin O'Neill said last week post-match, saying we've got to be bold, we've got to be brave, all these sort of things that he was saying. That was a message to me that, yeah, that signalling I'm going to play Wes Hoolan. That is what we're going to do. We're going to go try and impose ourselves. So it does give us more stability defensively, but it does take away that spark to the side. It certainly does. And we know what Wes does, and we spoke about it on air many a time. When we give the ball away, when the ball is given away, first one to react to it is always Wes Hoolan. In turn, that gets the defence squeezing 5, 10 yards further up the pitch. Whereas we'll have a tendency, I think, today, and it's not just because Glenn's playing, whoever it will be, but we'll have a tendency to sit a little bit deeper. We'll probably give up more possession than we needed to, if Wes Hoolan was in the side.
One of the reasons that there's quite a bit of confidence around the group going into this game seems to be the performance against Uruguay last weekend. And it seems that Martin O'Neill has read a huge amount into that performance, because 10 of the 11 that started that game are starting here today.
Yeah.
The only change sees James McLean come in place of Johnny Hayes, and McLean was basically being rested for that game. Yeah. So he's obviously decided whatever he saw in the first 45 minutes, hour of that game, that that's what he wants here again today. The question with that again is, Ireland were so much better when Wes Hoolan came on.
Yeah.
And when you think back to Austria, Wes started that game, maybe didn't start it particularly well, but the second Glenn Whelan went off injured and was replaced by David Myler and they had to change the system, suddenly Wes started to take a bit more control about the game. It seems a very strange decision, and I don't know, maybe it's just a sense up in the commentary box that by these team selection there's a little bit less confidence in our ability to go and win this game.
I still think it was in the balance of Martin Hill's mind. I think you say there's a strange decision, but I think it's very much a 50-50 call. I don't think anyone could have come with here today with any certainty thinking Wes Hoolan will start. We're all thinking in our heads, yes, we all would like him to start. We think the team would probably perform better if he were to start the game. But I don't think anybody coming here today firmly believe he will start today. That's the doubt that's in Martin O'Neill's mind. That's maybe a doubt in a lot of supporters' minds. So I find it difficult to think that we're going to actually play a way we're going to really go and impose ourselves today. I think we're going to be a little bit more cautious, and it's up to James McLean today, Robbie Brady. They're the two players that's going to have to give us a creative spark to the side.
Yeah, it's just it's very strange in many ways. If you believe everything about Austria that we're hearing, that they're low on confidence, that Marcel Koller, their manager, will effectively be sacked if they lose this game. Nathan's gone through the team, they're missing so many frontline players. Why give them the initiative? Why not try and own the ball early on and really dent their confidence?
Yeah, the
notion that you're going to sit pretty for 70 minutes and then bring on Wes, I get that against a bigger team.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case, and that's not entirely what I'm saying. I think we've still got players. Look at the way that McLean's played. Look at what Robbie Brady plays, with and without the ball. They'll certainly give us that attacking impetus through those two.
Yeah.
It's just when Hoolan's playing, the whole dynamic of the team changes. We look so much better. Even looked at that Uruguay game last week, and that may be something that's in his head again. The team changed, but the dynamic of the performance changed when he came onto the pitch. So he might be thinking, look, I don't want to go throwing bodies forward with a bit of pace that they've got within the Austrian side. They could hurt us. So safety first, and then change it if necessary. I think that's the thing that's in Martin O'Neill's mind. Not necessarily my viewpoint, but sure, that's what he's thinking.
No, I think you're spot on in trying to get inside his head. Roy Keane was speaking the other day, and he was talking about training on Friday, and he said, I woke up this morning and I thought, let's hope there's a bit of an edge to training, and that's exactly what it was, and that's what you want from your players. Did you like it on a Friday or Saturday, if there was a bit of needle in training, if there were lads leaving a few studs in each other? Did that bode well generally for an Irish team?
You know that we used to have the Dubs v the Colchis game, so they were more competitive than the actual game we would have played on the Saturday or the Sunday, whenever the game was going to be. That was the day before. We used to have that, and in my head I always remember Robbie Keane and Gary Breen fighting with each other, literally almost coming to blows on the pitch, elbows throwing. So
who would win that fight generally, Kurt? I feel like Breen has the stature, but I think Keane would fight dirty.
Well, Breen was a lad that always he was never out of the gym, but he used to actually lose weight by being in the gym. Breen, I don't know how that worked, but he used to get skinnier when he used to be like bulking up, like he bench press 100 kilos, yet he used to get skinnier. But they were great competitive games. I used to like the competitiveness around training, particularly with Ireland, because I always found when I came over with the Irish squad that everyone has got a point to prove to the manager. You're not necessarily in that comfort zone, so training automatic had a step up in my view from when I was with the club, because there was that much at stake. That's what I always felt, and I'm sure that'll be the case with these lads.
So that's a good sign. That's what you want
to
hear.
Very good sign, yeah.
Okay. The other point is that Marcel Koller, I mentioned, gets his 50th game in charge of Austria, because we're all trying to get a sense of where Austria are. They've breezed through their Euro 2016 qualification. They came away from France last year with just a single point. It was a major disappointment. Since then, it's been very poor, as we've seen in the group. They've played around with their formation. 3-4-3 increasingly is something they're going to. Nathan, without the team earlier, seems like that's what they're doing. How does it change an atmosphere when you're out there and you know that if we lose today, on top of everything else, the manager probably gets the sack?
Yeah.
And I know you've probably been in that position. Rumours are swirling around. It must have some impact. Like, there's probably some players who want the manager to get the sack. There's others who are desperate to repay the faith. Like, I would think there's a lot of players there who almost feel they may have let him down at the Euros, given how well they went in qualification. Now, also, there were Austrian journalists speaking to Irish journalists yesterday at the press conference, and the word they had was that a lot of senior players don't like the fact that Alaba runs the show, dictates where he plays, has too much say in the camp.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't like playing left back. That's been a big thing, hasn't he? Left back or wing back, where he has been playing, doesn't like that role.
So there's a lot swirling around there for that group right now as they go through their passing drill.
It's probably been noticeable as well, sorry Kevin, that actually as Alaba's influence has grown within the group, his performances don't seem to have matched that.
Yeah.
So when he came here in 2013 in both games in that qualification campaign, and he single-handedly destroyed Ireland, we didn't see that in Vienna. We didn't see that during Euro 2016. So that's probably part of that issue as well, that his performances aren't actually backing up at international level his stature.
Yeah, and you go back to the point that before you were talking about the intensity in training and everything rising. I think that builds team spirit. If that's happening and he does have that sort of influence over the manager, that will be spoken about every single day when they're on the training ground, when they're on the bus to the training ground, whatever they're doing.
The other player's bitching.
Yeah, bitching, essentially, yeah. And it's not a good atmosphere. Your original point you made about the manager, when the position he's in, the precarious position he's in, I think that's certainly in the player's mind, most definitely. And what I found as well, when a manager has been talked about getting the sack, you'll always find that, I think, Joe, that you talk about it in the dressing room, and you go out, you might start, you're desperate to put in a performance, whatever it would be. As soon as one little thing goes wrong on the pitch, it's almost, it has that such a negative effect, more so than it should. Someone gives a pass away, it happens, but it has that demoralising effect, and that runs throughout the team. And that's what I'll find. So it'll be interesting to really watch the Austrian today, to see how it's going for them on the pitch in general, just in general play, one or two mistakes that will inevitably be made.
Yeah.
And when those mistakes are made, how the team react to them. That's going to be an interesting thing.
That's interesting. So you felt it had an impact on resilience?
Most definitely. And you always find as well, you're on top in games, you don't get that goal, so you concede, you can't replicate the performance you've been having up to when the goal was conceded. It's just amazing. It just kills the whole momentum, kills the whole mood. And so that'll be the interesting thing to look at with the Austrians today.
Yeah. The flip side, of course, is they may have reached such a low point that they all get together and say, this match in Dublin tomorrow that we're playing, it's now or never. This is it. It all boils down to this. And so there is the possibility that they come out
players,
and have that moment.
New players in the side today. We've spoken so much about this negative feel around the squad, the injuries that they've got, all these sort of things. Of course, it could have an effect on them.
Yeah.
New caps coming in. We spoke about Kevin Long coming in today and the big occasion it is for him. They've got a relatively inexperienced side within this side as well, from Austria, should I say. So that could have that effect on them as well, where they think, look, we're going to be galvanised. It's new to us. We're desperate to prove to ourselves that we're due on this stage, we're capable of playing at this level. So that's the thing that could happen as well today. So there's many different things that could happen within this Austrian side today, and I'm looking forward to it because of that.
If you're tuning in again, we've been through the team, but I appreciate people maybe joining us as we go. We have live commentary here of the game with Nathan and Kev. It's Randolph in goal, it's Cyrus Christie at right back. The big surprise is that Kevin Long makes his competitive debut today. He starts alongside Shane Duffy. Stephen Ward is at left back. Glenn Whelan is sitting. He's got Hendrick and Arthur near enough to him, probably slightly in front of him. Robbie Brady on the right, James McLean on the left. Johnny Walters leads the line. The sun is out. The Irish players to our right are going through passing drills. The Austrian players to our left are going through their passing drills. We are now 32 minutes away from kickoff. We're going to get the thoughts of Emmett Malone, who's joined us in a moment. But first, James Horan, we're 28 minutes gone in Pearce Stadium.
Yeah, you just joined us just as Keith Higgins has got a straight red card. It was a Mayo kick out, and he was jostling with Damien Comer. Didn't exactly see what happened. There was a bit of pushing and shoving, and Damien Comer went to ground, and a straight red card for Keith Higgins. Going in the last 5 minutes as well, have started to use the wind a little bit better. They've let long ball in. The last two scores have come from long ball being let into Comer, who's causing a bit of trouble in there for Cherry Calf. So Galway 2 points up at the moment and Mayo man down.
Right. Horan, if I watch the Sunday game and it turns out that Higgins has blatantly hit him and you're telling me you haven't seen it, there's going to be words.
Right, okay. I'm pretty confident though the world's not much in it, so let's see.
All right, James Horan there. Mayo in a bit of trouble. Galway looking to beat them for a second successive year. Emmett Malone of the Irish Times. I just read out the Irish team. Your reaction to it?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned there, I mean, the big call is Kevin Long starting. We had wondered really with a fair degree of confidence whether it be Richard Keogh or John O'Shea, but Martin O'Neill always seems to spring a surprise, and that's as big a one as I can remember in the few years he's been in charge.
Have you seen much of Long?
Not a huge amount, no. I've seen a little bit of him, highlights mainly from the Championship on when he's on loan. Seen a little bit of him in at Burnley, but he's only played 4 Premier League games and compared to 400 for John O'Shea. So, it, you know, clearly I think what's decided this, you would have to suspect, is what he's done in training over the last couple of weeks. It is I guess the testament to what Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have always said, which is that players can come in on these camps and impress and play them their way into teams. It seems slightly implausible that, what, you know, somebody who was kind of that peripheral to the whole thing a few weeks ago would start such a big game, but there you go, he's clearly seen something in training that has really impressed him. He did nothing wrong against Uruguay last week, but it, to be honest, given the pace of the game, given the quality of the Uruguay performance, it would have been pretty tricky to play your way out of a team if you were being lined up to start, and so it's a remarkable call, I think, but it's going to be a really interesting one.
It's a decision only an experienced manager can make, a secure manager can make, because if there is a slip up between Long and Duffy this evening, it will be thrown straight back in O'Neill's face, and it will look like a crazy decision, really, given the fact that John O'Shea's on the bench, given the fact that Richard Keogh's on the bench. Like that said, you mentioned training. They've had over 2 weeks together.
Exactly, yeah.
These two could really gel. Like, we could all be applauding it in 90 minutes as well.
Yeah. Look, it's true. I mean, he's seen a lot of what's gone on the last couple of weeks that none of us have. Yeah. And you would have to say that, you know, his calls during his time involved in this team have been pretty decent. So you hope for the best here. O'Shea, I think the big thing going against him was he didn't get a minute of football over the last couple of games, and you wondered about that. You wondered whether that was the manager simply feeling that he's played enough through the season that he could kind of preserve him at this stage. Keogh didn't do so well in America, looked a little bit out of sorts, short of pace. The idea at that stage was that's why those two games were being played, for the Championship players, to give them a bit of football. Then he didn't use them last week, so, you know, you really kind of, it was really up for grabs. And yet, of the three of them, I would have thought Kevin Long was the least likely to start.
He does keep his cards close to his chest, Martin.
Yeah, very much so.
But it come out of the blue from that respect. You say with the experience that they both got, Richard Keogh and John O'Shea, particularly John O'Shea with the experience he brings, and that was a surprise. There was no indication really from Martin O'Neill.
No, really. And when he was asked, when he was asked at one stage very specifically about Kevin Long and his prospects, he talked about him very much as a long-term kind of project. Yeah. That somebody who had not, he's played less than 100 first-team games in England, but of those, only a handful have been in top flight. And he talked very much about how much he had to learn, how, you know, as a defender, his body positioning, everything. You know, he really talked about him as somebody who had the potential to be an important player in time. But you know, that time didn't seem to be this afternoon.
I did not expect to be asking this question ahead of kickoff in an Ireland-Austria match this vital.
Sure.
A lot of people won't have seen Kevin Long play. What kind of player is he?
Well, he's a footballing centre half. He can pass the ball. He's not the fastest, but he looks a decent player when he's played. Certainly, I would have thought in the Championship, he's a really strong performer. I haven't seen enough of him in the Premier League to know his debut. Or no, well, it's not his debut because he played 3 years ago or whatever, one game. But his first game for Burnley this season, he did quite well. But the team performed quite well as well. And after that, I wouldn't have thought he stood out in hugely positive terms in the other couple of games he featured in. But it's very difficult to come into a side at the end of the season like that. But look, he's decent in the air. He can pass the ball. You know, he's a decent player.
I think that's the thing we're all judging. I'm judging him more so on last week and the Mexican performance to an extent. I've not seen an awful lot of him.
Yeah.
So a bit of the highlights from his last few games. I've not seen him starting a game for Burnley. Saw him playing a couple of games when he was on loan at was it Brentford he was with? Was he with on loan?
He's been at a few. Rochdale, Portsmouth.
I've seen what literally I've seen. less than a handful of games that he's ever been involved in. So it's total unknown for us. We're all here today, and on this sort of stage as well, given the circumstances, given that this could actually put Austria to bed today, and this could almost, we'll obviously look into the Serbia-Wales game later on, but this could guarantee a playoff spot today, this result. It's a big call for Martin O'Neill to put a relatively inexperienced club and international level into the side.
Roy Keane, Emmett, was asked about Ireland and playing a possession game hopefully today like we did last week against Uruguay, and he said you would hope so, but it's a different animal on Sunday. It's different pressures, different emotions, different expectations. So presumably, that's we're not going to see the level of football we saw. That's fair enough.
We're not
seeing Wes Hoolihan either, which lessens the chance. What's your take on that?
Well, look, we endlessly aspire to playing a possession game, and then sadly, the opposition get in the way. We played Uruguay last week, and the pace of the game was ludicrous. Yeah. So it wasn't very difficult to keep the ball. They didn't press at all. They didn't look all that interested, and so it's no surprise that we managed to keep the ball. In the other qualifying games, even the ones that we've done well in, we haven't retained the ball very well. In every one, I think we've come out, just about everyone, we've come out with having less than 50% of the possession, and we don't string the ball together very well. I think that the temptation is always there to play Hoolihan. He started the last two games that he was available for, and it must have been one of the calls that O'Neill kind of put the most thought into. But I think the fear would be that you go for it a little bit too much. I mean, in Moldova, was it? He some of his passing was absolutely the most positive and impressive thing about Ireland, but he also lost the ball quite a lot. And I think O'Neill would be absolutely conscious of the potential downside of mistakes made in that area of the pitch, potentially putting us under pressure, costing us a goal, because, while we absolutely have a chance to put Austria kind of away here, I mean, I don't want to get too carried away with it, but a 10-point gap would be an extraordinary comeback with four games left. They will feel that they can play their way back into this.
A last question before we go to ads. We talked about Wes at this stage enough, and I'm potentially ignoring lots of the positives, not least a team that has McLean on one wing, Brady on another, and Walters hopefully sniffing out some chances.
Look, I do think that's a big factor. I mean, Wes is 35 at this stage, and I do think that he will be a very big part of O'Neill's plans, even as he starts on the bench. I think we'll almost certainly see him, regardless of what happens, coming onto the pitch after 30 minutes. But I do think that, almost unusually, certainly it's changed since the Wales game, O'Neill had some really positive choices to make in that central area. Arthur's performance against Uruguay last week made him a virtual certainty to start this game. I think Whelan retains his place because he provides a solid basis for those in front of him to operate. And then you're down to kind of Hendrick, who's an absolute favourite of the managers, who's always going to start. Brady, McLean. I mean, it's actually, we're in a situation where, popular as the choice, as the decision to play Hoolihan would have been, it's very difficult to drop any of those other players.
Okay. Give us a prediction.
Oh, do you know what? I just have this really, really terrible feeling that after all the confidence, and I've bought into it as much as anybody else. I mean, the Austrians are quite pessimistic, talk about their manager getting sacked. On paper, this is a big, big opportunity for us.
Give us a win. Come on, Emmett.
Okay, we're going to win, but only by a goal.
No, what do you really think, though?
Draw.
I fear that we might just draw the game. I'd be really surprised and terribly, terribly disappointed if we lost it, but I'm not wildly confident about the win.
We'll read your thoughts in the Irish Times tomorrow.
Thank you.
Take a short break. We're back here at the Aviva in a moment's time.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Enjoy 7 channels of sport free on the Air Sport Just mobile app. Moncrief.
Many years ago, you just reminded me of this. A TV show I worked on, one of the guests on it, his act was he would regurgitate things. And we were having, something to eat in the canteen before we started the programme, and someone said, "Where's the salt?" And of course, your man hocks up the salt that he, and thought that was hilarious.
Dear God, I'm glad I didn't eat him.
I can't look at salt again ever since.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland.
Back tomorrow at 2 p.m.
on News Talk 106 to 108.
This summer, brought to you by BMW.
Make every road trip or holiday more enjoyable with a summer safety check and official BMW travel kit for just €69. The BMW travel kit includes a cooler bag, water bottle, frisbee and two high-vis jackets, while your summer safety check comes with added peace of mind as standard. Ask at your local BMW retailer or book today at bmwservice.ie. Terms and conditions apply.
For the early mornings, the late nights, the miles travelled, the hard yards and heroics. Thank you for playing your part. GAA members and supporters can now enjoy partner discounts, special offers and earn points going to games with the new GRMA Rewards Programme. To start benefiting, register now at gaa.ie/GRMA. Your rewards are waiting. GRMA. Gareth Margaret. You've earned it.
Imagine not thinking about your travel insurance every year. Multitrip.com is now offering two-year multi-trip travel insurance from only £31.99. That's cheaper than some one-year policies. So if you buy travel insurance every time you travel, think twice. Think two-year. To switch, visit multitrip.com, Ireland's favourite travel insurance, or call 0818444444. Online European essential price for one adult under 66 holding private health insurance with medical cover abroad. Blue Insurance Limited, trading as multitrip.com, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Look, just stay in your room. I'm going to lock the door while I'm out.
Just take this. It'll keep you calm.
Eat what you're given or you can go hungry.
You have been listening to the sounds of people being abusive. Could this be you? The National Safeguarding Committee. Promoting the rights of adults who may be vulnerable. safeguardingcommittee.ie.
I think what's great about the lecture is that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They've always got an open door.
Yeah, I do feel that they're definitely geared towards helping you to succeed. A lot of them come from marketing backgrounds, so they know what they're talking about.
Johanna Stoliak, BSc Computing.
My name's Anya Nolan and I'm studying the MSc in Marketing.
With an MBA and Master's courses in Marketing, Finance, HR, Management and Computing, realise your potential at National College of Ireland. Call 1850 2217 or visit ncirl.ie.
At appliancesdeliver.ie, we're offering free delivery on everything. That's right, all this weekend we're offering free delivery on all appliances. You're welcome. appliancesdeliver.ie.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the Aviva Stadium. We are less than 20 minutes away from kick-off between Ireland and Austria. Nathan Murphy and Kevin Kilbane with live commentary at 5. The big news is that Kevin Long starts for Ireland. The GAA day is turning out to be an interesting one as well. We've seen already Monaghan come through against Cavan, 115 to 15 points in the end. A draw between Offaly and Westmeath and O'Connor Park. They'll replay next Saturday. And two interesting games in Munster and Connacht. Let's go to James Horan, the latest between Galway and Mayo, James.
Yeah, half time here and Galway 9 points, Mayo 1-5. So Galway a point up. Got to remember they're playing with a very, very strong breeze. So they would have looked to have been further ahead at this stage. But Mayo hung in there and as the game went on, got more and more into it. A couple of interesting things in the first half though. As I said last time, Keith Higgins got a straight red for a tackle or a push or a hit, I'm not sure what it is, on Damien Comer.
Yeah.
And since then as well, we've had Tom Flynn sent off, where Galway were coming out with the ball, where Declan Coyne was going down the ball and Killian O'Connor was chasing him, and it seems Tom Flynn walked across in front of Killian's path and Killian ran into the back of him and Tom Flynn got a black card and Mayo got a resultant free that Killian kicked over the bar. So a big talking point at this game. But we've had a couple of yellow cards as well. Killian yellow card, Andy Morton yellow card, Gareth Bradshaw yellow card. So it is feisty, and the ref needs to put a bit more control in it, or we could have further red cards in the second half. But at halftime, Galway a point up, but Mayo going to be playing with a very, very strong breeze in the second half.
Right, and we expected James Galway to set up defensively and try and hit Mayo in the counter-attack. Is that how it's unfolded?
Yeah, and to be honest, anyone that's here, if you look at the game and the strong breeze that Galway are playing with, a lot of the first half, particularly in the first 20 minutes, they had one guy inside their own 45-yard line from an attacking sense.
Right.
With a very, very strong breeze, which is absolutely crazy from my point of view.
Yeah.
They were taking short kickouts with that strength of a breeze, so that didn't make sense and they didn't utilise it. But the last 15 minutes of the half, they certainly led a lot more long ball into Jamie Comer. They obviously realised that and got some reward from it.
Yeah, I suppose their strategy maybe suits the second half and the breeze into them. We'll see how it unfolds. That's James Horan, where Galway lead 14 men Mayo by a point at half time, 9 points to 2-1-5. A more competitive game at Cusack Park than we expected as well, Oisin Langan.
Kerry Lohr taking over at the moment, Joe. It's Kerry 14 points, Clare 1-8. We're 14 minutes and 50 seconds into the second half. In the 8th minute, Clare crashed a shot against the crossbar. They would have stretched their lead had they got the goal at that point. They were 1-9 to 10 points in front. But since that, Gainey has got a score. O'Donoghue has got a couple of good ones from play. Anthony Maher has just added one. And Paul Gainey was very unlucky when he pushed a kind of flicked effort against the woodwork. Kerry down to 14 men. Keep in mind, it's 14 against 15, but it's Kerry who are leading 14 points to 1-8, 15 minutes into the second half. Joe.
Thanks very much, Oisin. I should tell you as well, Rafa Nadal beat San Wawrinka in straight sets this afternoon at Roland Garros, 6-2, 6-3, 6-1. That is his 10th French Open. That is Rafa Nadal's 15th Grand Slam title, which moves him one ahead of Pete Sampras on the all-time list. Nadal is up to 15, Sampras is on 14, and Roger Federer is hanging on 18. So, incredible stuff from Rafa Nadal. The first man, or woman indeed, to win 10 Grand Slams at a single tournament. He's pretty much owned the French Open for nigh on over a decade now. We're back here at the Aviva, where I don't know why, but they just insist on blasting us all out of it.
Yeah. To raise the atmosphere, isn't it?
I mean, yes, everybody's sitting in their seats and they can't talk to each other because it's too loud.
Yeah, it's difficult to hear, isn't it? You got it. I think when you're at the stadium though as well, I think you kind of forget though, regardless of the music, how good the stadium is. And we were waiting for such a long time with this stadium to get these really big days and these big occasions. They're starting to flow a little bit more now, aren't they? We're starting to get that sense that this is our national stadium now.
Do you know what this reminds me of? And I think, Nathan, you might agree. This reminds me of the Euros. The pitch is perfect, the weather is good, and we had Martin O'Neill on the station a couple of months back. He was talking to Jer and he was making the point that, like, qualifying is drudgery. You're away in Eastern Europe, it's pissing rain, it's dark, the pitches aren't good, and it's hard to replicate the football you play at the Euros. The conditions out there are directly applicable to the Euros, which gives me a semblance of a hope.
It's not Bordeaux, though.
Gives me a hope we're going to see the Jeff Hendrick we saw at the Euros last year. Because I haven't seen that Jeff Hendrick since France last year.
Well, that's a big question. What is the Jeff Hendrick? Well, is it a box-to-box guy? Is it a guy who you want to see getting on the ball all the time?
Yes, that's what I want to see. I want to see the guy who gets in the ball. I want to see the guy who has, you know, takes the game to Sweden, has a few shots, gets involved.
Off the back of that, we spoke about the system. There is potential for it to become actually a 4-2-3-1 with Jeff Hendrick playing that more advanced role within this today. That'd be something to look out for. I don't think it suits Jeff Hendrick when he plays in that role. If it is a 3, as I think he probably should be with the personnel that's in there, Jeff Hendrick, that's the perfect role for him. Right side of a central midfield, box to box, you say. He's got the license behind him that he knows Glenn Whelan's there in his cover as well. Yeah. Can get beyond, up in support of John Walters, get strikes from distance. He's got the ability to do that, as we saw the Euros.
I wonder if he's just better in this type of environment. Again, the pitch perfect, the sun out, it's a big game. I look at him and
think. He's a fair weather player then, Joe, yeah?
No, he's a big game player.
Is it difficult for players? So we're asking Jeff Hendrick to get on the ball, to dominate possession, to bring the game to the opposition. And we're asking the same from Robbie Brady and all those players in that midfield. What I'm wondering is, they're playing for Burnley. That never happens Burnley.
I'm with you, Tom.
Their job is defensive. We've seen Jeff Hendrick, and most of the times when we've commentated, it's been against better opposition. And his job is stop, go long, stop, go long, stop, go long.
But who is in the side used to playing in the side that dominates possession? You might look at Duffy, perhaps at Brighton. Christie at Derby would be another one that would dominate. Ward, certainly not. Long, definitely not as a defensive. Glenn Whelan, definitely not used to being in a side that's getting the ball, dominating possession.
But I'm not talking about us hanging on to the ball endlessly and having 15 pass moves. I'm talking like what we did against Sweden, where Hendrick gets on the ball, uses his athleticism, is direct, gets a shot off, or, you know, get a cross in.
Direct play, where we enjoy watching the team play.
It's the kind of football,
like,
Stephen Hunt says, that's a traditional Irish football. Yeah. You know, we're not going to play tiki-taka, but we can also be aggressive and athletic.
Yeah, and enjoyable. Yeah. You actually enjoy watching the games. We're getting into wide areas. I think that's where McLean's actually excelled. Yeah. McLean's excelled because of that.
Yeah.
He's the one player that's really come into his own over the last year or two, just with the license that he's been given.
Yeah. We asked Emmett Malone, Nathan, when you were gone, for his, not his heart prediction, but his head prediction, and he's slightly worried. You know, he's not quite going for Austria, but he's not quite going for Ireland either. Maybe a draw. What are your thoughts, you two?
I think we'll win. I really do. I'm confident. I would have been a lot more confident if Billen had been playing, I think, because I think we'd have created a lot more chances. I think with his ability in central areas and gliding around the pitch, I suppose, as well, getting himself in advanced positions to go and pick teammates out, I'd have been a lot more confident of chances being created. But I think there's enough within the side there today. It could come down to a Brady free kick today, a set piece or a Brady free kick. I'm worried that if we are going to win the game, invariably we'll win a game 1-0. I think we'll win 1-0. I think that would be my prediction overall, because I think it will be tight. I don't think it will be as open as many would want it to be. But look at the system, Austria's system. Keith Andrews touched on it earlier. Sometimes you'll watch international football and sides just play the same way. It looks as though they'll go with a different system, so it'll be more open game and much more of a better watch and a much more attacking feel to it. So, but I do think we'll have enough. I think we've got enough to beat them. I really think that, yeah.
Yeah, I've been very confident all week. Now, the team selection has shaken that a little bit, like you, the fact that he's gone with Glenn Whelan ahead of Wes Whelan, and also that defensive partnership. Just haven't played enough football. Remember, Shane Duffy missed the latter half of the season as well. He's just back for these couple of games. It's a major, major risk. I just hope we get on Alaba. Don't let him get any sort of control on the game at all.
Yeah.
And get the Arthur, get Hendrick, get Brady involved supporting James McLean. I still think we'll just about grind out a result.
Okay. The anthems are imminent. Kickoff is imminent. Teams are in the tunnel. And we're back with live commentary here on Off the Ball. And it's next.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter.
Imagine playing Snakes and Ladders without meeting any snakes. Or playing on a golf course without bunkers, roughs or lakes. Everything's easier when you simplify the game. And now with Vodafone OneNet Business, you can combine your landlines, mobiles and collaboration tools into one unified solution. It means things run smoother, teams work better and opportunities get taken. So be a ready business and simplify your game today. Search Vodafone OneNet Business. Vodafone. Power to you.
Don't miss the breathtaking Mitsubishi 172 scrappage offer. Get €3,000 on the Mitsubishi ASX or Outlander 5-seater and €4,000 on the Outlander 7-seater. Terms and conditions apply. The Mitsubishi 172 scrappage offer contains ridiculously good spec and Ireland's only 8-year warranty. Please high-five carefully. If you're looking for a new family SUV, this offer may increase your heart rate considerably. If you can't believe you can trade in and get up to €4,000 off a brand new SUV, consult your local Mitsubishi dealer or see MitsubishiMotors.ie.
It's definitely a campus I'd recommend for go-getters and people who want to get on the forefront of whatever their chosen career is.
Realise your potential with National College of Ireland's wide range of full and part-time courses. Come to our open evening on Thursday, June 15th from 5 to 7pm in the IFSC. Call 1850-221-721 or visit ncirl.ie.
Food allergies are a load of...
People are just being fussy. A little bit of... never hurt anyone.
Sure, they can just ask if they want to know. Can't they?
Failure to provide accurate food allergen information in writing for your customers can have serious or even fatal consequences. Visit fsai.ie/allergens to find out how to comply. It's your food. It's your responsibility. It's the law. Brought to you by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland.
When it comes to uniforms, the early bird beats the school rush. So before the water fights and summer holiday sleepovers commence, get them ready for next term. Then let the fun begin. 20% off school uniforms in store and online now. M&S. Spend it well. Terms, conditions and exclusions apply. Offer ends 4th of July.
Feet of Ireland! It's time for us feet to take a stand. A stand against badly fitted shoes that don't support us, that fail us and prevent us from being our best. A stand against those who blame us for their pain when the solution is firmly in their hands. Are you with me, feet? Are you? It's time to stand up for your feet. Visit Foot Solutions and find out how shoes with more support, space, comfort and style can set them free. See footsolutions.ie for your nearest store.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Welcome back. We are coming to you live from the Aviva Stadium. President Michael D. Higgins is currently shaking the hands of Johnny Walters and the rest of the Irish team. Both teams on the pitch. The crowd are in. We're pretty much ready to go. The sun is out. In a few moments' time, we'll have the anthem. Some anthem trivia for you, Nathan Murphy.
Here we go.
the Austrian national anthem, which we're about to hear, and I think it's important to give context. The word was, and it's since been disproved, was that the melody was composed by Mozart just 19 days before his death.
Yes.
And that added a real sense of magic to the whole thing, but it turned out that is not true. It was indeed a different composer, Johann Holzer, who died in 1818. And in 1946, it was made the official anthem of Austria. And interestingly, in 2012, it was made gender neutral. None of this man business. It's humankind, all that kind of thing.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, okay. That's the Austrian national anthem. The Ackle Pipe Band are playing out the anthems today. One Kevin Kilbane's cousin amongst them. Just listen to that roar. It's a full house, all green except to our left where there's the red of Austrian fans. We are ready to go. It's a huge, huge game for Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. Live commentary is here on Off the Ball, and your commentary team, Kevin Kilbane, alongside Nathan Murphy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe. The sun has re-emerged. Lansdowne Road looking splendid for what is the latest in a seemingly never-ending run of crucial World Cup qualifiers. We're midway through this qualification campaign for Russia 2018, and we're pretty much in unprecedented territory for the Republic of Ireland. Joint top of Group D at this halfway stage. A huge opportunity to skip the playoffs and qualify automatically. The Republic of Ireland, green jerseys, white shorts and green socks, will be captained by Glenn Whelan this afternoon. Austria, white jerseys, black shorts and white socks here at Lansdowne Road. The Republic of Ireland team, well, the big surprise, Kevin Long coming in for his first competitive start alongside Shane Duffy in the centre of defence. Darren Randolph keeps his place in goals. It'll be Cyrus Christie at right back, Stephen Ward at left back, with Long and Duffy in the heart of the defence. In midfield, it'll be Glenn Whelan, who's captaining the side alongside Jeff Hendrick and Harry Arter. Robbie Brady and James McLean should provide a little bit of width. And John Walters, who scored that brilliant opening goal against Uruguay last weekend, will lead the line in the absence of Shane Long. Five changes to the Irish side from our last qualifier, that scoreless draw against Wales back in March. For Austria, well, only four of the side that started the game in Vienna back in November are retained. They're the centre-backs Dragovic and Hinteregger and the two midfielders Baumgartlinger and Alaba. Their team, since Heinz Lindner starting goals, he played in the 2-2 draw here 4 years ago, but he's only made two competitive appearances since then. We'll see right at the start whether it'll be a back three or a back four. The back
three will be Prodl, Dragovic, Hinteregger, the wing backs Lehner and Lazaro, with Baumgart, Linger and Alaba in the middle, and then Zlatko Junuzovic and Florian Kainz playing support to Guido Bergstaller, who's still waiting for his first ever international goal. As is now tradition here at the Aviva Stadium, we are going to pause for a moment's applause for those members of the football family who have been lost in recent months.